Oh, hello guys, welcome to episode 3 of That Is Life. Oh guys, it's been a crazy week, to be honest with you. But before I get into it, I just wanted to start off with a little affirmation, because I was at my mum's this weekend and she has a little box of affirmation cards. If, by the way, you can hear some heavy breathing, it's my dog, I apologise. Honestly, she's so loud. The card I picked today, so I shuffled them and then I spread them out and then I took the card I was drawn to and I got, every thought I think is creating my future. And then on the other side it says, the universe totally supports every thought that I choose to think and believe. I have unlimited choices about what I think. I choose balance, harmony, and peace, and I express it in my life. So I'm going to channel that today. This last week was rough with grief. I promise that I'm not always going to talk, just directly about grief, but at the moment that's what my life is doing and that's where I'm at. This week was the lead up to my mum's celebration, to her, what most people would call her funeral, but we didn't use that word because sounds really depressing. Although after this celebration of life, I mean, a couple of people have said me and my aunt should go into business. It was 100% not depressing. It was full of joy and honesty and just so much of my mum was in this day. And I want to talk about how funerals can obviously and are going to have a lot of grief and a lot of sadness. Of course, that's going to be there. But the day after my mum passed, I had to go up to London to see my therapist. And as I got to the train station, on the side, on the board, there's signs. And I love the fact that train stations do this now. And the board that day said, don't cry because it's over, smile because it's happened. I know, a very typical Pinterest quote, not saying it was anything crazy special, but it was exactly what I needed to read and hear. And I felt like it was my first sign from my mum, because it's so easy to cry about the fact that, be sad about the fact that you no longer have that person in your life, or maybe it's, you split up with your partner or you've lost that job. Of course, it's so easy to be attached to those things emotionally. And I just, the first time I learned about attachment and one of the big reasons why we get so sad when we lose something is because we have grown this emotional attachment to something that we have decided is ours, that we have said, that relationship is mine. That person, she belongs to me. I am attached to it now. I have all these thoughts based around that person. I have all these thoughts based around who my mum is, who I am in relation to my mum, the dynamic, the family dynamic, who people think she is, my defense of her, what she makes me as a person, how she's brought me up, alongside obviously the present tense of the fact that, just the fact that we had a relationship where we would see each other and meet up and enjoy each other's company and go for dinners and go to the theater and have a giggle so much that she would pee herself. And, but all of those things are things I am attached to. I have such a love with my mum, and therefore it makes me feel X, Y, Z. And that's not to discount it. It's not saying that we shouldn't be attached to these things, although I'm sure Eckhart Tolle would say perhaps we shouldn't be. But it is one of the things that's helping me through grief, is trying to let go of my attachment to what that relationship meant in embodiment, and know that that relationship still means what it means to me, even though she's not here, that it doesn't die, that I love, that our love is still just as rich and powerful and special as it was when she was here. And I just remember reading in The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle talking about, when a child has a toy and it learns very quickly, even if it was just a dummy, a pacifier, a bottle, a blankie, that it's decided that this is mine, and it's decided, the baby's decided how it feels in relation to that. And I don't know if anyone's going to actually resonate with that at all, but I just always remember it really resonating with me and really trying. I think I split up with my then boyfriend not long after I'd done this course. And I really, yes, I did go through grief and I was hurting. And yes, I wasn't as in love with him as I probably thought I was at the time, but it really resonated with me because I'd really tried to think, okay, this relationship, it's not mine. That person doesn't belong to me. And I feel a particular way about that person and our relationship because of the attachment that I have and the ideas that I have around this relationship and who I am in relation to him and who he is in relation to me. And I've attached those thoughts to this person and to who we are. And therefore, I feel a particular way. And when I would try and let go of that attachment, and I would say to myself, well, he's not mine. And we had that relationship, and it was, amazing when it was amazing. It wasn't when it wasn't. But why cry that it's over when I can smile that it's happened? I honestly hate how cliche it sounds, but if I can keep remembering that, it's just a flip in perception. It's not saying that we can't cry, by the way. I don't want to ever say that, like, I can't sit in my grief. Of course I can. I have to be able to cry and be sad. And I know how important that is. But on the flip side, I really do want to keep reminding myself that I had and have such a relationship with my mum. There is that Winnie the Pooh quote as well. How awful, how amazing is that you had something that you love so much that makes it so hard to lose? That is not the quote, but it's, you get the gist. And I just really feel that. And I feel that embodiment of those memes or Pinterest quotes, whatever they bloody are, they just bring so much comfort to me. I really, really feel that I wanted the day, mum's celebration, to be about the fact that how lucky we had her in our lives for as long as we did, the way that we did. And I want to honour that and cherish it and just bring all of that love that we have shared into one room. And that is what happened. I can't express to you how amazing the day was. It was, I couldn't have wanted it or asked for it to go in a better way. I'd sat with mum on so many evenings towards the end of her life, and we'd sat and I'd said, how do you want to be remembered? What do you want us to say and do? And she said, I just want people, yes, I want people to remember me and honor any sort of relationship they had with me, and I want it to be honest. I don't want people to just show up, bow their heads, and pay their respects. She said, I want them to be there because I really connected with them. I really did have a relationship with them. I want to feel that there is love, and I want there to be this feeling of just like an energy and not just tears. I mean, she did say she wanted us to cry a little bit, obviously. But she wanted it to be more about joy and a celebration of who she was, is as energy, and the idea that she hasn't just gone. that her energy is still with us. And oh, honestly, guys, I just feel like that was everything that the day was about. It was so special. So what we did was we had personal invites. It wasn't an open service. And because my mum had given her body to science, we don't have her body to cremate or to bury. And we knew she wanted to be cremated, but that won't happen until King's University have used her body for science. And she gave her corneas away. And that really pleased her, that she was going to help give someone sight and that she was going to help people be able to research cancer or the body. And I'm so grateful that she got to do that. So we knew that the service was going to be without a cremation or anything. So we had it at the pub that Mum had her last ever outing to, other than the hospice. And it was a pub we went to for New Year's Eve. And we love it. It's the Green Oak in Windsor. And they were magnificent. Like, they just, it was special. They were so special. They made the day run so smoothly and sensitively and wonderfully. They embraced every aspect of what we wanted to do. So we had the service in one side of the pub. We hired out the whole pub, and there was, I think, about 80 of us. And we'd asked my friend Emma to be the celebrant, because my mum is like a particular person, and we just didn't want a stranger to say stuff about her. It didn't feel right. Emma is an actress and one of my friends from drama class, and my mum loved her. And for me, I feel like they have like a little kindred spirit. Emma really reminds me of my mum, just in terms of like their energy and who they are as people. So we asked Emma, and she 100% jumped in. She was just honoured to be asked, and we wrote like a script for her to say in between basically anyone that was doing a speech, a eulogy. And so my aunt did a speech, I did a speech, my dad's girlfriend, who is my mum's bestest friend, well, actually, that's unfair. My mum had a good few bestest friends, but she was one of mum's bestest, dearest friends, Sally. So she did a poem that she wrote, which I'm going to get everything and I'm going to put it online, just because I can't not share it. The stuff that my aunt said was honestly so amazing. And Sally's poem was so beautiful. And then my nan had my uncle and his sister read a snippet from a book called You Matter, and it's just so lovely. And it's just about saying, you know, you matter and I love you no matter how imperfect you are, which was the theme of the day, I have to add. Honestly, my mum was so imperfectly perfect. She was, you know, she didn't get everything right. She suffered from depression and she found life hard, and she was so insecure and not sure of who she was as a person for so much of her life. But truly, in the last year, cancer brought her a whole new perspective, and she saw this as a lesson and something, you know, to learn from, and the ability for her to switch up how she was living and to stop existing and actually start being and living in the moment was just, it was magic. What we saw last year, it was totally magic. And she changed my life, not just by how she brought me up in my 35 years, but she changed my life last year in more ways than you will ever imagine. And we wanted to bring that up, her imperfections and how she didn't get her magic, but how that last year did bring it all into fruition and how it was all meant to be, I think, for that year and that lesson that we all learned. And we all, oh my God, guys, a parakeet literally just danced out the window. Oh, Mom. Oh, guys. Oh, my God, guys. Okay. I don't know if I can come out of here. He's just sitting up there. Sorry. I wish I could show you this. I don't know if I can stop. I just want to take a picture. Can you hear? Guys. Oh my goodness. I've got to stop. Oh my goodness, guys. I'm so sorry. I had to stop recording. Not that, you'll notice, because it's not like I paused for 15 minutes, but the parakeets literally just. So Jay heard them this morning, and then he was like, oh, Beau ended up pooing on the bed. I know. Just don't even ask. They're the shit bits. Quite literally the shit bits of life. And we heard them, and then, but we couldn't see them. And then the parakeets, they're not here all day. They, like, honestly, they just come usually around 7:30. So this was 7:30, and I was like, oh, if that was a sign from mum, like, I've missed it today. Anyway, I'm sitting in the lounge, and we only ever see them when we're in the bedroom. And I'm sitting in the living room, and a parakeet, I'm going to take a picture, I'm going to put it on Instagram, but it just was flew in my eye line, did a little dance. So that it got my attention, and then it sat up right on my balcony roof. And then there was two, then there was three, and they just sat there. And then they did a little bit of a call out. Then they sat there. Then Beau started like growling, and it's like when she senses there's like energy around, because she couldn't see them. Beau's blind, by the way, pretty much. So she was just in her bed, but I could tell she sensed something. And they were there for ages, so close up. If you haven't listened to any episodes before or seen my Instagram, then you might think this is weird. But basically, I know my mum is sending me signs via the parakeets. I've never seen parakeets I know they are in London, but I've never seen them in 10 years that I've lived in this area, 3 in this flat. And a few days after my mum passed away, they started sitting on my balcony, on my windowsill in my bedroom, and sitting outside the tree right outside my bedroom and living room. So that's just a sign. I'm just so excited and smiley. That is the magic that this podcast is about. It's shit. I can't describe to you how shit it is not to have my mum. She was my best friend. Like I said in my speech, I lied to her 4 times in my whole 35 years, and every time I lied to her, I crumbled and told her, because she's my best friend. I can't lie to her, and she brought me up not to lie so blatantly. And like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm definitely, of course, I've white lied like to people and stuff, but not my mum. Like, never, other than these 4 times. And it was once went to see Technicolor Dreamcoat with my family friend, and we couldn't get tickets, so we never went. And they were like, we can't tell your mum, which is silly. Anyway, I crumbled and told my mum. I bunked off school twice. Both times I told her, cried. And the first time she was like, look, fine, but if you ever do it again, just tell me so I know where you are. And I did it twice in my whole school years. Another time I lied to Mrs. Cuthbertson because I didn't want to make my yogurt, and I told her I didn't have my spoon. And I got home that night and bawled my eyes out. And my mum was like, it's all right. And another time was the fact that I lied and said I didn't have my gym kit because I didn't want to do gymnastics. And I went home and told my mum because I just couldn't not. Like, this person taught me any good thing about me has come from my mum. Like, she's taught me so much, and she's taught me to be imperfectly perfect, or perfectly imperfect, however you want to say it. Like, I embrace all my fucking shit bits, and I have to, because that's what she taught me, she brought me up to. So in life, when all the fucking shit bits happen and you think that you don't know how you're going to get out of the hole, the one thing I can say is that the hole is where we grow from. God, I am so tacky and wanky, but like, you obviously get me by now, I'm sure. But that is where we grow from. Like, that is where the seed is planted and we grow some bloody awesome flowers. Yeah. Yes, I'm running with it. And I can't explain to you and preach to you that, like, in death, there is beauty. Like, I understand that, like, it's hell and it's dark and it's a really horrible place to be, grief. It's a horrible place to lose someone, to lose something, to lose a relationship that you had that, like, even if it's a job, if it is a boy, even if I lose a particular bloody top that I love, like, guys, I understand. It's shit. It doesn't feel great. But if I can be like, oh my God, but I had that top and I got to wear it a few times and it was amazing. Like, I loved it and it felt like, it felt like me. Then you had it. You had that top for a while. You were lucky enough to have that item. And I was lucky enough to have my old relationship, which taught me so much. I was lucky enough to have that love. I was lucky enough to have a mum and have a mum that is so special and cultivated love and joy that was in that room on the celebration of her life. Like, we had a silent disco, we danced to Candy. If anyone doesn't know what Candy is, it's like Candy when you walk. Okay, I'm so bad at singing. It's by Cameo. Look it up. My mum didn't know that dance for years and years, and it plays at every party. And so, on her bucket list was to learn the Candy song dance. And for her wig party, which was her pre-chemo party last year, and how random is this? It was the Sunday a year ago to the day we had mum's celebration on Monday, the 9th of March. We had her wig party on Sunday, the 9th of March last year. How crazy is that? Actually, it wasn't because it was a leap year. It might have been anyway, it was a year ago, right? We taught her the dance. And so at the silent disco, we wanted to teach everyone the Candy dance. And the silent disco is run by Secret Sunshine London by a lady called Margot. And she is the most beautiful, wonderful person. And she. The silent disco isn't just like music in headphones and then you dance. It's like an experience. You connect. She got us to like work with someone and think about my mum, think about a memory that you have with her, had with her, have with her. Bring a smile to your face, send her an intention, send her love. But then also, it was about think of something that mum said that might have really pissed you off or you pissed her off, and that honest exchange where you might have had that and then let that go into the universe and have forgiveness. And honestly, oh God, I don't know if there was a dry eye, but like there was so much emotion. But then we all danced and like danced to Spice Up Your Life. Spice Girls, and it was just. If you want to check out my stories on Instagram, or there's an archive with my mum's celebration in, and I just want to share it because for me, my mum did that. She told us what she wanted, but also because she's so honest and authentic and real, like there wasn't one person that didn't get what we were saying about mum or like. Every story, every memory was so consistent. We all had such different relationships with her, but her authenticity was so real. It carried through that, like, no one didn't get what we were saying about her. Like, no one didn't understand what the day was about. It was like, this is so Jackie. And to be able to do that for her, to be able to have me and my aunt know her so well, but know that other people knew her so well that they were there going, this is everything like that Jackie would be about. And to know that my mum, especially seeing the parakeets today, to know that my mum loved every second. And we had little affirmation cards with these words on that we'd written about mum, and we toasted to her, and everyone got to keep their little affirmation card, and we had wish pots with glitter where you emptied the glitter and you made a wish, and you got to keep the message in a bottle that was under the glitter, and then we're going to mix the glitter with mum's ashes so she sprinkles in the sun. It's biodegradable glitter, by the way, if in case anyone's wondering. But all I want to say is there is doom and gloom. There is the horrible sadness of a funeral, but there can be fun, all right? I'm sorry, nobody steal this idea, but we might make a business called Funerals, because it was such a fun, no one steal that idea, right? I'm copywriting it, but it was such a fun day full of like raw emotion, but that was laughter and joy, like laughing at my mum smelling farts and laughing at the fact that she would never pick up the phone to you, but if you left a long answer phone message, she would 100% be there for you. But laughing at the fact that, you know, she'd tell you to fuck off. Like, it was just beautiful. And in any dark moments, you know what this podcast is about by now. It's about finding the magic in all the shit. And it's there if you look hard enough and if you're just grateful for what you've had. And but still what you have those memories. If you've broken up with someone, if you've lost a job, you have those memories, you have the lessons that you've learned from that experience. That has to be what this life is about, because nothing is permanent, like nothing. So again, if you can take away from today anything that we, mum has shared with you in any of this learning, like I feel like this is what her message is about and what I want to share with you. So thank you for being here and listening, and yeah, thank you, because I know it's not like a chat with somebody else for 30 minutes, it's me just rambling on, but I appreciate it. I appreciate you. If you could give us a review on iTunes, give us any feedback, that'd be amazing. And I say us like this is me and my mum, right? Like this is me and my mum on this podcast, because I would not be here doing this if it wasn't for her and everything she's taught me. So if you can share it, that'd be amazing. Tag it on Instagram, share the Spotify link, whatever you can do so I can just reach as many people with mum's message as possible. I would be so freaking grateful, because I think that's the only way these things grow. So please share away. Thank you again for listening, and I will be back next time with another podcast. Thank you. This podcast is sponsored by Kettle Boobs. If you don't know what Kettle Boobs are by now, please go and check them out at Kettle Boobs or at www.kettleboobs.co.uk. They are perfectly imperfect kettlebells, personally designed for you. No one boob is the same. They are unique, one of a kind. Thanks, Kettle Boobs, for sponsoring us. Please go check them out. All right, we will see you next time.